It's good to be with you again this morning, having been out of town last Sunday. It's good to be back, and as Bob has already mentioned, we appreciate all of our visitors this morning and those who regularly worship here, and I hope that our time spent in God's Word will be helpful. I'd like to thank Daniel and Reggie for preaching in my place last week. I listened to those sermons. Those were very good lessons, and I appreciate them doing that. We have good talent here among the men, and I appreciate you volunteering to do that good work. We've been studying in the book of Isaiah in a section in chapter 40 through 48 that speaks about the one true God. And in that section of Isaiah, God is mentioned as the only God, or one God, or the God alone. We've gotten away from that concept of oneness or singularity. We live in a world of plurality. We live in a world of pluralism, meaning a system of belief that believes in a plurality of things with regard to religion and ethics and morals. So, all gods are fine. All religious writings are fine. All churches are fine. All ways to heaven are fine. All world religions are fine. It's called pluralism. And it has so pervaded and invaded our thought process that we just naturally see it around us. And if we're not careful, we will begin to buy into that, and it will slowly affect our thinking. And it had affected the thinking of God's people in the days of Isaiah. And I'm sure he wasn't liked well by his own people for calling them back to a one true God. Something that they should have known and practiced, but many of them had left that. We have the same situation, brethren and friends, today with regard to the Lord's church. I'm glad that we sang the song right before the sermon. I appreciate that song from Brother Phil. The church is one foundation and one Lord, one faith, one birth. We're going to look at Ephesians 4 later in the lesson, but we have one church that Jesus established. I'm going to talk about, brethren, this morning, a phenomenon that is in the lives of each and every one of us here this morning. I don't believe that there's one of us here that is not aware of this phenomenon, has not been affected by this phenomenon, does not have some connection or relationship to it, and that is the phenomenon of denominationalism. A multitude of different kinds of churches. We were all born into a world, you would have to go way back to be born into a world that didn't have modern denominationalism, and that doesn't apply to any of us. All of us have been in a world of all kinds of different churches. This morning I want to answer the question, is one church as good as another? And this has been on my mind a lot because of our study in Isaiah. To call people back to one God, that's challenging. To call people back to one New Testament church, it's very challenging. Not only is it challenging, but it's difficult for us because we have people close to us in this situation. I have family members that are brothers, that are members of denominations. So it's hard for me to talk about that. And maybe you have family members or friends or co-workers or classmates in this situation. And one of our first temptations is, I just don't want to talk about it. I just don't want to bring this up. It's uncomfortable. Think about Isaiah and what he would have had to have done. It would have been uncomfortable for him to approach his own people and say, you're doing something that is false. That would be difficult. And yet, it's the truth. Brethren, stop and think about this question. Is one church as good as another? When we first hear that, we probably get a little uncomfortable. We kind of know, well, I kind of know where this is headed, and it makes me a little uncomfortable. But just stop and think about it a minute. It really shouldn't. It does, because religion is something that's close to us. But it shouldn't, because just stop and think about it for a minute. We apply this principle in every aspect of our life, and it's not uncomfortable. But when it comes to religion, because it involves, well, parents and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters and so forth, it gets uncomfortable. But it shouldn't. For example, our young people, when they're in school and it comes time to take a test, and the teacher passes out the test, and they take the test, the teacher takes it back, and somebody gets a bad grade. And the student raises his hand and says, wait a minute, one answer is as good as another. Do we do that? We don't do that. Nobody does that. We understand that there is one set of right answers. We don't say, I'm opposed to this. One answer is as good as another. If the question is 2 + 2 = and I put 6, one answer is as good as another. We don't even do that. We don't even attempt to do that. We know it's not going to work. Those of you who are going to work tomorrow, and you get on the job. Reggie was telling us yesterday that he starts about 10 o'clock. He said he starts about 10 o'clock, and he gets off at 2. That's what he said. You go to work, and you start, and you're not doing your job. And the boss comes by and goes, Reggie, what's going on with you? Well, one activity is as good as another, right? Me here playing video games, that's the same as actually doing the job description. Or Richard's making HVACs over at Train, and he's goofing around, and the boss comes by, and Richard says, well, one activity is as good as another. We don't even try that. We don't even say that, because we know that there is a job description for me and I need to be doing that. We don't even attempt to say that. You see, we do it in all areas of our life, but for some reason, when it comes to our religion, that we take a different approach because of emotions and feelings and family and other things. Can you imagine if I went to the bank tomorrow, pull up in the U.S. Bank drive-through? I want to withdraw $500,000. And the teller says, well, I'm sorry, Mr. Reeves, let me check your bank account. I don't think you have that much. Oh, no, just pick one that's got one in it. Any bank account is as good as another. We don't even talk like that. We don't even reason like that. But when it comes to religion, one church is as good as another. Do you see the point, brethren? It makes us uncomfortable because it's religion. I get that. And because it involves a lot of times family and friends. But it shouldn't. Because it's the same principle. And so let's take a look at that this morning. It is often asked by people. A lot of times people ask sincerely. Some are not sincere. I've run into that from time to time. They're really not looking for the truth. They're just looking for an evasion and a way to get out. But a lot of times people are sincere. And they're asking because they're looking to be a part of some church. And a lot of times they will pick maybe one that's close to them, or one where some friends invited them, or maybe they grew up in a particular religion, or maybe a church in town has some activities for the kids or others. They pick churches for different reasons, but a lot of times this question comes up. And many denominations exist today that did not exist in the New Testament. And it's causing people to ask this question and to think about this. And so I want to give us some things from God's Word to address this matter. Isaiah called people back, tried to call them back to the one true God. I'm sorry, these idols that you're making and carrying around and fabricating, they're not true. They're not real. Come back to the one who created all things and who can tell the future. But we live in a world of churches with different names and different doctrines and different organizations and worship and work and different creeds and beliefs and different plans of salvation. And so what would we say? Or do we even attempt to say or to answer this question? I'm afraid that some of my own brethren are answering this question that is not according to God's Word. We're going to see this morning that the answer to this question is yes, the answer to this question is no, and the answer to this question is maybe. Depends on what you're talking about, and I'll explain that in just a minute. We need the answer from God's Word. It doesn't matter what we think or feel or human opinion. That's what's caused, I think, denominationalism in great part, just what man thinks or feels. But this is a basic lesson that we all need to hear from time to time, and especially our young people. They are so, so inundated with pluralism. It just hounds them at every corner. It pressures them at every turn of the way. And we've got to be called back to the one true church. I've heard a few years ago some, and it's just anecdotal evidence. I don't have any scientific proof of this, but comments have been made to me where brethren are now embarrassed by the statement, the one true church. Brother James Cope wrote a really good tract. We may have it. We do have it. And I think it's in our foyer. Is it in our foyer? Yeah. There are some brethren who won't put that tract out anymore. That's what I've heard. Because we don't want to come off as the one true church. Yeah. It's embarrassing, But those three words with regard to the church are found in the New Testament. There's one body, Ephesians 4:4. It's true, and it's a church, one true church. But we've got to call people back to that, and we've gotten away from that. When we talk about the church, what do we mean? The proper answer to this question begins with a proper understanding of the word church. What do you and I mean by church? Well, we just simply need to use the word church in the way that it's used in the New Testament. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. The English word church comes from a Greek word that means called out. Ekklesia, ek, out of, and klesis, a calling. Where God calls through the gospel, He calls us out of the world to come into a body of people. Church is a called out body of people. It's not a building. A church, people can meet in a building, but it's not a building, it's people. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, "And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," the confession that he had made that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, based upon that confession, "I will build my church," my people. Notice he said, "I will build my church." Man has come along later, much later, and has builded many kinds of churches, but there's one that is listed in the New Testament. The word church is used about 107 times in the New Testament. I would encourage you, brethren, as you're studying with others and even in your own thinking, just take this challenge. Just read some passages in the New Testament where church is mentioned. It's very simple. And just ask yourself, Can I be that I'm reading about without all of the modern denominational church that gets put back on top of that? Can I just be that? We've lost sight of that principle, that I can go back and just be like those Christians. Church is mentioned once in the Gospels here in Matthew 16:18. It's mentioned several times in the book of Acts and then Romans through Revelation. And it's not that many times. It wouldn't take long to look at a few sample passages. Church, people. Can I go back and just be people like that in how they describe themselves? Acts 11:26, Christians only. No other denominational names. And I see how they became a Christian. I see how they're worshiping. I see how they're organized in a local church. Can I just be that? The answer is yes, I can. And we need to call upon people to do that. We've lost sight, just like in Isaiah, where idolatry had become so common that it was just, well, you're just supposed to have idols. No, you're not. Or you're just supposed to have denominations. No. Do you see how it's possible for a situation or a habit to be around us for so long? We were born into a nation, unless we're from somewhere else, we were born into a nation, born right into a bunch of denominationalism. And so it just gets into our thinking, well, that's just the way you're supposed to be. So we've got to get back to this other. If we're speaking of the Lord's church, in the New Testament, church is sometimes used in a local sense of Christians, the Church of God at Corinth, or sometimes it's used of all Christians of all times everywhere, the Church of the Firstborn Ones, Hebrews 12:23. But that's the sense in which it is used in the New Testament. There's no other sense in which church is used for, like, all denominations, because they did not exist. Church is often used today in the religious world and by some brethren in an unscriptural way. Sometimes people say that all religious people make up the church. That's just not the way it's used in the New Testament. Paul was not a member of the church until he was baptized into Christ, but Paul was a religious Jew. Philippians 3, why did he leave that? Why did he leave that behind? He could have been perfectly fine. He had to leave that behind because at his time, being right with God meant being a Christian. And we're going to have a whole VBS on him coming up here in a few weeks. It's going to be a great study. Paul was religious. And he was great in his religion. But he had to leave that behind and become a Christian. Some say all Protestant denominations make up the church. That's just simply not true. It's never been that way, and it's not that way today. That would be like an Israelite saying to Isaiah, we've had idolatry going back to Mount Sinai when our ancestors made the calf. What's the big deal? You've left the one true God, and you're not to make an image of Him. And there's no other God besides Him. And we've got to just remind ourselves of some of these things. And then some will say all churches of Christ make up the church. Well, many brethren have certainly got started in some good things, but churches are made up of people, men and women, and they can make mistakes as well, as we'll see later in the lesson. So let's answer the question, is one church as good as another? First of all, I would say yes. The answer to that question is yes. If you're talking about one man-made church and another man-made church, the answer is yes. It doesn't matter which one you pick. If you're talking about something that was started by man long after the New Testament, and that's denominationalism, then it wouldn't matter what you pick. One is as good as another. You could pick one that's close to the house. You could pick one that you were raised in as a family. You could pick one that had some services that provide things for you and your kids. You could do that. one would be the same as the other. When it comes to man-made churches, all are equal. They're all equal in their relationship with God. Well, what is that relationship? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. We were in Matthew 16, just turn back a chapter, when Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and their traditions. He answered and said, Matthew 15:13, every plant, and he's talking about the religious group of people that he had just been talking about, every plant which my heavenly Father planted not, God did not plant the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes and the Herodians. These were offshoots of what God had planted in Old Testament Israel. These are diversions and offshoots and changes and manipulations. God did not plant that. And Jesus said, they shall be rooted up. Leave them, who? These Pharisees alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the pit. When you're talking about man-made relationships, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees were developed by Jews during the intertestamental period, that was not something that God had planted. And Jesus said they're going to be plucked up. Human denominations are not something that God has planted. Many of them came along, the common ones that we know today, they came along during the Reformation period in the 1500s and 1600s. In the late 1500s and early 1600s, the Baptist churches were formed, and the Presbyterian churches were formed, and the Lutheran churches were formed. On American soil in the 1800s, the Mormon Church and the Jehovah's Witness and the Seventh-day Adventist churches were formed. In the early 1900s, out in California, the Pentecostal and the Charismatic churches were formed. And we could go on and on. The Catholic Church, its first pope was in 606 A.D., Boniface III. He's the first one that claimed to be a universal bishop over all the churches, 606 A.D. So, that's just fact. That's just history. Any history book will tell you that. You can pull any church history book off the shelf, or non-church history, just history. That's history. That's what history says. And we just don't need to be a part of something that was made by man. We need to go back and be that church that is in the New Testament. So, if you're just talking about one man-made church and another man-made church, then the answer would be yes, one is as good as another. Is one church as good as another? Well, the answer would be maybe, if you're talking about a man-made church and a local church of Christ, the answer might be maybe. Unfortunately, going back to around 1940 and 1950, some local churches of Christ began to do things that were not authorized. And so today, some local churches of Christ are no different in concept than man-made churches. There are churches of Christ today that have man-made practices and organizations and do things that are unauthorized. I wish that were not the case. I wish that were not something that would have to be brought up. But again, like Isaiah, he's just stating the facts. There's one true God. There's a bunch of you who are worshiping idols, bowing down to them, and there's one true God, and you need to get back to the one true God. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. And is it uncomfortable to bring up the fact that some churches of Christ do things that are unauthorized? Yes, it's uncomfortable. But we might have family members in situations like that. When this happened in the 1940s and 50s and 60s, it literally split families. It literally split families. It literally split friends and close associations. It was terrible. But some people began to introduce things that are not authorized. The split had pretty much taken place by the time I was born, but those who lived during that time will tell you, and my mother-in-law's here, and she experienced some of that, and Linda Hensley and others. It was rough. It was rough. And over the past 75 years then, you've got churches of Christ now that are doing things that denominations do. So it depends on what you're talking about. I would say maybe. Tell me about the local church of Christ that you have in mind, and it may be denominational. They might call the organization different, but it's an organization that binds churches together. They might have a different term for it, but it's the same thing as a denominational organization. They just have different terms. Some are now using instrumental music and women preachers and elders and things like that. So we've got to hold fast the pattern, brethren. 2 Timothy 1:13. We've got to hold fast the pattern among the Lord's church. We've got to hold fast the pattern. And when we speak, 1 Peter 4:11, we need to speak as of the oracles of God. When we preach and teach and practice and elders make decisions, we have to follow God's word. Church of Christ on the sign does not guarantee that we are right with God. And unfortunately, there are some churches of Christ that you can walk into today, and it's pretty much, except for the name on the sign, it's pretty much something that you would see in another or different denomination. Is one church as good as another? The answer is maybe, if you're talking about different local churches of Christ. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We actually have this situation in Scripture. And really, not just Revelation 2 and 3, but when you look at Corinth and the division and some of the problems that they had that they needed to change, they had errors among them. Even in the New Testament, the church, if you go from Acts 2 to the book of Revelation at the end of the New Testament, you're looking at about 60 years of the church. Roughly A.D. 30 to A.D. 95. 60, 65 years of history talking about local churches of Christ in the New Testament. And by the end of the New Testament, you find that some of them need to repent. They've let things come in that are wrong. Five of the seven churches of Asia are told to repent. So some local churches of Christ, even in the New Testament, were doing things and had things going on that were wrong, and certainly today. As I said, some 75 years ago, some churches of Christ began to build human institutions to do the work of the church. They began to engage in social and recreational activities with the Lord's money. And we find in Revelation chapter 2 and 3 that it's possible to be a local church of Christ and foster sinfulness. Ephesus was told to repent. They had lost their first love. Pergamum and Thyatira had allowed error to come in, erroneous teaching. They're told to repent. And in chapter 2 and verse 20, Jezebel calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication. Sin had come into some of these churches of Christ. That's one way they describe themselves in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, when Paul is writing to the saints at Rome from Corinth, he says, the churches of Christ salute you. The churches of Christ greet you. He's talking about Corinth and Cenchrea, the port city. There were at least two churches there and any other church in that area. These churches of Christ, Romans 16, 16, greet you. That's how local congregations describe themselves. But by about A.D. 95, sin had crept in at Ephesus and these other places. So is one church as good as another? Well, maybe if you're talking about different local churches of Christ, you could have, as we have here in this town and It's very common to have different kinds of churches of Christ. There was a time when everybody was on the same page. If you would go back to the earlier part of the 1900s, pretty much everybody was on the same page. But by the mid-1900s, things changed, unfortunately. So you've got seven churches here in this area of modern Western Turkey. Five of them are told to repent. Five of them are condemned. Two of them, Smyrna and Philadelphia, are not. They're commended only. So they're different. And brethren, we need to ask questions. And when we go off to college, we don't just pick a Church of Christ. You don't just, well, there's Church of Christ on the sign, so I'll just start going there. You've got to ask questions. And parents, you've got to strongly get involved in that. Very, very important. Very important. Be active in your children's lives with regard to where they worship. Because today, local churches of Christ, there's a whole spectrum of them. There's a whole spectrum. And it's unfortunate, but that's just the reality of it. Had we been born in the early 1900s, we wouldn't have to deal with this as much. But we have to. And parents, you've got to get involved. You've got to call the preacher, call the elders, get on their website and check out what's going on. Go visit with your kids, ask questions, look at the bulletin board, see what their money's going to. When your child goes off somewhere and they're giving their contribution on the first day of the week, which as a Christian they need to be doing, what is that money going to? What kind of preaching are they going to hear in the pulpit? What kinds of activities have the elders planned? You've got to check on all of that. If we had lived in the area of Asia Minor, we would have had a choice of some churches. And you stop in at the church at Ephesus, they've lost their first love. Okay? And you stop in and your child goes off somewhere and they end up at the church at Pergamum or Thyatira, they're going to end up hearing some false teaching. Okay? So they're not all the same. And we have to do due diligence to be mindful of that. And then, last of all, the answer is no. The answer is no. If you're talking about a man-made church today and the Lord's church, the answer is no. One church is not as good as another. We can and must be a member of the Lord's church as it is found in the New Testament. Jesus built a church with people. It began on the day of Pentecost, and in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, they were baptized into Christ, and the Lord added them to the saved. Some versions say the Lord added them to the church. The church began on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. We can do what they did to become a Christian. We can do what they did to stay as a Christian. We can go back and be just like that. Just like Isaiah said, you can get rid of all your idols and come and return to the one true God. Now, in today's lesson that Bob was going over, Isaiah brings up stubbornness and stout-heartedness. Some people don't want to change. They don't want to come back to the one true thing. But let us never be like that. We can and we must be a part of that. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I wanted to mention just briefly before we close this morning some passages in the book of Ephesians. And that's one reason why I wanted us to have Ephesians 5 read for our scripture reading. The book of Ephesians, one of the themes in the book of Ephesians. If you want to read about Christ and the church, read the little book of Ephesians. It's a great theme, Christ and His church. But look at chapter 3 and verse 10, to the intent now that unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. This is how God's wisdom is made known to the world today, is through the New Testament church. Not through denominations. All that shows is division. What kind of wisdom is shown in denominationalism? Division, carnality, sin, human opinion. But being a simple member of the New Testament church shows God's wisdom. Look at verse 21. It's also the place where we glorify God. Unto Him be the glory in the church, not in just some denomination, but in the church. What church? The church that existed at that time when Paul wrote. And somebody says, well, how can I be a part of that? This is 2,000 years later in 2024, by simply going back and being what they were. We can do that. It's easy. It's not hard. But we've got to be willing to set aside this phenomenon that we've been born into, and that is pluralism. Just anything and everything is fine. We've got to get that out of our thinking. It's hard, but it can be done. This is where we show God's wisdom. This is where we glorify God in the New Testament church. The Lord's church in the New Testament and today is one. It's not made up of a pluralistic idea of world religions, Islam and Buddhism and Judaism and Hinduism and Christianity, just all world religions. And then within Christianity, all denominations, thousands of denominations. It's not. It's one. And we can be a part of that. There were no denominations present in the New Testament. And this is what we have to point out to our friends and family. We're baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And what is that body? We put on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3:27. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Christ is head over all things to the church, which is His body. Let's just be a member of that and not something else. Chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body. That's the church. Chapter 1:23, the body is the church. One church, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. We've gotten away from the seven ones of Ephesians 4, 4, 5, and 6 because we live in a world of plurality and pluralism. And again, that makes us uncomfortable, but look back at our illustration. When the student answers on the test, there's one right answer. And I have just one bank account at the bank. I can't just go in there and pick anything. And I've got one job description and so forth. It's the same, brethren, with our relationship to God. And that relationship, turn to chapter 5 then in the scripture reading, is a relationship that is like a husband and a wife. Paul brought up the husband and the wife not simply to talk about marriage. Verse 32, I speak in regard of Christ and of the church. Marriage is analogous to the church, and the church is analogous to marriage. And brethren, I don't know of any man here. I would not suggest that you try this on the way home. It's going to hurt you. But what man here would say, well, one bride is as good as another. One wife is as good as another. Honey, driving home in the car. Honey, one wife is as good as another. I wouldn't suggest that. It doesn't work. And we know that it doesn't work. But listen to me, brethren. Do you know that the church is described as the bride of Christ? Christ does not accept brides, plural, but a bride. It's singular. And in chapter 5, when you get on down, verse 23, 24, 25, 26, it's to be glorious and it's to be without spot and blemish. That involves sin. That involves unauthorized things. It's a certain kind of bride. There is no other. We have been espoused to Christ or married to Christ, 2 Corinthians 11:3, when we're baptized into Christ. And when we meet Him in the judgment day, it's like a bride, Revelation 19, verse 6, a bride and a bridegroom coming together when we're with Jesus for all eternity. One God is not as good as another. One Lord is not as good as another. One Holy Spirit or hope or faith or baptism, but all of a sudden when it comes to the church, well, one church is as good as another. Read Ephesians 4:4-6 and plug that in to those other terms. It doesn't work. And so just like those other six are singular, so is the church. It's a New Testament church and we can be a part of that. As I close this morning, when I talk with others and when you talk with others, it's challenging and difficult, but we've got to encourage them to leave any man-made denominational thing. Because one church is not as good as another when you're talking about denominationalism and the Lord's body. It's just not. Some don't want it. I've experienced that with my own family. That's the life they want. I've tried to talk with them numerous times. They don't want to change. That's their business. But at least try. And there may be someone here this morning that needs to leave that. Leave that behind. Be willing to do that. Or if I'm in an unscriptural Church of Christ, that's even getting closer to home, and that's maybe even more uncomfortable. But if the elders and others want to continue on a path of unauthorized activity, I cannot be a part of that. Well, I've got friends there. Well, I've got family there. I've got friends. Okay. Who are we going to put first in our life? The Lord or family or friends? It's difficult. It's hard. I've been in the conversations that are loud. I've been in the conversations that are argumentative and loud, not on my part, that are uncomfortable and where somebody's got to apologize later. I've been in all of that. But you still have to call people back to the one true church. Let's be a simple New Testament Christian. Let's be united with other simple New Testament Christians upon the Word of God. When Jesus prayed in John 17:20 for His disciples, He said that when they go out and preach His Word, that the world may be one through their Word. It's the words of the apostles that can bring us together and can unite us. That's not for everyone, sadly, but if it's for you, then we would call upon you to be united with New Testament Christians. Those of us who are trying to be New Testament Christians, let's help each other in that regard. May we never, as a Church of Christ, slip into and slump into things that are unscriptural and unauthorized. And I have confidence in my elders that that's not going to happen. And I'm glad that we have those kind of men. Let us never slump into denominationalism. Let us never slump into something that is unscriptural and unauthorized. Let us always strive to be that New Testament church. We have a phenomenon around us. You don't have to drive very far to see it. But it's good to be reminded of these things. There may be someone here this morning that needs to be baptized into Christ. Paul said that you would be baptized into that one body, not into some denomination, but into that one body. And that's a great thing. If we can help you to do that, we'd be glad to do that. As a child of God, if you need to come back in some way, like those brethren in Revelation 2 and 3 that have lost sight of the truth, if you need to come back in some way, we can help you to do that. Let's go out and be that bride that Christ wants us to be. If we can help you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?